just a little bit discouraged. You ever get a little bit down and out? Sometimes you feel as though you're restricted or you're hindered here and there and seems to be everywhere. Last week was kind of a week like that for me. Anticipated to do a lot of ministry, and it seemed as though that they were COVID restrictions here and there and everywhere, and there was sickness, and there was all types of things that seems to burden and sometimes hinder one's work. I thought long and hard about that last week, because it seemed like, and you know what we're talking about, you can take one step forward and seem like you slide back three. It's kind of like the way that it was. So I took a day off last week. Took a day off, got up early, but I wanted to get some ministry done. Seemed as though that everything you attempted to try didn't quite work according to your way of thinking. I've been burdened about this lady that had lost her husband just a couple of months ago. Been desiring to contact her, but with all the sickness that's around, it's kind of hard to do home visits and things like that. And I said, I can call her, talk to her and her family. Not put it off. And then the devil, you know, said, well, don't aggravate them right now. That day, when it seemed as though nothing was going in accordance to my way of thinking, I said, I'm gonna call this family today. So I called and the phone just rang and it rang and it rang. Actually, she come on and I just hung up. I was just so disgusted. So disgusted. I said, Lord help me. And I thought, well, I can't do that family this way. So I'm gonna call them back. They don't answer, I'm going to leave them a message. Lord, you know I've tried. Called and the phone rang just a few times. The lady answered. She started bawling just as soon as I said a word. And she said, Lynn, I am so glad that you called. She said, you know the day would be my husband's 74th birthday. We had a good time with the Lord on the phone. God's good. God is so good. He answers prayers. He's faithful to answer prayers. And despite the hardships and the walls that we sometimes feel, we know that the good Lord can carry us through. And we know that God has a purpose and He has a divine plan. And you and I today are to implement that plan in our lives day in and day out. You might say, well, Brother Lynn, it is sometimes very hard for me. Friends, it is hard for me, but I tell you today, the key for us doing what it is that God would have us to do is to pray. Prayer changes. That is our focus today. Pray. Friends, if you have your Bibles and would like to turn with us today, turn with us to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We have a lot of things to pray about. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. It was read a lot during this pandemic all across the country. No doubt you have looked at it many, many times in your devotions and in your daily Bible studies, the Holy Spirit would have us not only to focus upon this particular verse, but He would also have us to look at the verse that follows it. So if you turn with us today, dear friends, to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we want to look for just the next few moments at verses 14 and verse 15. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. Oh, dear friends, when the Holy Spirit began to speak to our heart about this passage of Scripture, the Lord began to remind me of the setting here. I tell you, dear friends, when the Lord began to move and work very intensely, we find ourselves looking at a time in the life of Solomon. And the Bible tells us that King Solomon, he did something in this passage of Scripture. For the Bible says in verse 12 that the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. I tell you today, dear friends, if we will pray and seek the counsel of the Holy Spirit, the Lord God Almighty will give an attentive ear to our cry. Because I can tell you today, no matter what may befall you or what may come your way, the power of God can get you through. And I tell you today, dear friends, the remedy for the world's woes and problems today is prayer and seeking the will of God for one's life. We hear throughout the world today the importance of coming together. I tell you today, dear friends, the importance of coming together is real. But being unified in relation with God is of the utmost importance. And I tell you today, dear friends, the communication link that we have with the Lord God Almighty is prayer. I can tell you today, dear friends, you and I, we can't pray it up. That's why the Apostle Paul said that we're to pray without ceasing. Pray for a land or nation is in disarray. Our families are unraveling. Sin and iniquity seems to be at a feverish pace. Trial, tribulation, and woes seems to burden each and every heart that is within the confines of our church. Hardship seems to be at every turn. And you say, "Well, Lord, I sometimes just feel like throwing up my hand." I tell you today, throw up your hand, but throw up your hand to loving, caring God, and pray and cry out to the Lord of Lords, and pray that the Lord will bless you, and praise God, help you. For the Bible teaches us that it is our present help in time of trouble. The cure for the disease of sin is prayer. Prayer. We hear a lot about prayer in the church. We hear a lot about fervent prayer. The Bible tells us in the book of James, in James chapter number 5, there in verse number 16, the Bible says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I tell you today, you may be here and wondering to yourself, what does it mean to have effectual fervent prayer? I tell you today, when you see that verse of scripture and you think about the richness of that verse in James 5:16, dear friends, remember this, fervent prayer is intense prayer. Fervent prayer is emotional prayer. Fervent prayer is the type of prayer that will bring you to the point in your life where you're ready. I tell you today, if we get serious and sincere with the Lord, He will change things in our world. He'll change things. He's faithful. Praise God. He is able. People say, I'm about to give up. I tell you today, dear friends, as long as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is standing on the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for you and me, praise God, there's hope. There's hope. Solomon prayed. Why did he pray? Because he and his nation needed prayer. Solomon prayed. He did not just pray in a way that seemed portrait, that seemed very poetic. No, he prayed in an effectual, fervent way. He drawed nigh to God. And we read there that God drew nigh to him. And God said, I've heard your prayer. I tell you today, dear friends, who am I, the hearing of our prayers? I can tell you today, on the authority of God's word, He'll change things around you. The Bible teaches us that we have not. Why? Because we ask not. I thought about that as we looked at this passage of Scripture, and I thought about the mindset of the Jews in that day, and he began to look at Solomon, and he, like we, have a great opportunity to do something glorious for God who loves us. And I thought about how that he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, what did he mean? He meant to be sincere, to be willing to lay down all your burdens before the Lord, and to take every opportunity that God has given you and pour out your burdens to Him. The problem in our world today, even in our churches, when people will come to the altar and pour their heart out to God, they don't leave it there, dear friends. What they do, they pick up those burdens and tear them off. The Word says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, be sincere with God, and pray, and do what? Seek His face, care that He hears about the burdens of your heart. The Lord cares. The Lord cares. You know something today, dear friends? We've prayed these eloquent prayers in our day. You have to. Sometimes we pray just to be praying, just to get to where we need to go, to do what we need to do. And I want to tell you, as a sinner saved by grace as your pastor, sometimes those prayers of mine ain't went no farther than this thing. The fervent, righteous prayer. Oh, praise God, it avails much. And you see, dear friends, when old Solomon was praying, what he was doing, he was pouring his heart out to God. He was pouring his heart out in a way that drew the attention of the Lord. And the Lord came to him, and he said, I have heard thy prayers. Is God hearing our prayers today? Are we just going through the motions with our prayers? Is God hearing the prayers of His people? Oh, dear friends, he will, if we will pray in an effectual, fervent way, because the Bible tells us that the prayers of God's people that are prayed in a humble fashion availeth much.
God wants to bless us.
But not only does God want to bless us, he wants to help us.
Because he is our.
He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is the great I Am who has a desire to lift us up, to help us, to bless us, to make a difference in our lives and the lives that's around us.
If we'll pray.
If we'll pray. You say, Brother Lynn, that sounds pretty simple, isn't it? You know, I found out a long time ago in the ministry and in prayer, we get out of it what we put into it. Too many times we're not putting enough into it. So many times we think that if we pray in the morning when we get up, then we pray before we go to bed, we're doing God a favor. I tell you, friends, we ain't doing God a favor. He's blessing us with the privilege of prayer. The Bible says that Jesus would go up into the mountains, into a solitary spot, to talk to God the Father. How many times have we, in these days of late, went into our prayer closet and cried out to the Lord with the petitions of our heart, with the things that are burdening us? How many times have we cried?
We get concerned.
Dear friends, we need to pray. We need to pray. You say, well, I hate what's going on in Washington. I don't like this, I don't like that. I don't agree with everything either. But I gotta pray for them. I gotta pray. I feel pain like you feel pain. I see, and you see. When all else fails, dear friends, we pray. We pray. I thought about that many, many times these days of late. Well, you see, dear friends, what the Lord told Solomon. He says, if his people would turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. People says, it's over. I tell you, friends, it ain't over till the Lord says it's over. My God, in whom I serve, and whom that I belong to, is still in the saving business. He's still in the healing business. He's still in the redeeming business. And praise God, he's still in the comforting business. We ask, shall we see? The Bible teaches us that if we knock, it'll be open to us. I tell you today, dear friends, let us start knocking with the prayers that we have. Oh, the Lord would tell Solomon, says, now my eyes shall be open, and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. Notice what he says. We don't sometimes go with that verse. But the Lord said, now my eyes shall be open, my ears attend to the prayer that is made in this place. What place is that? It's the place of self. It's the place of worship. It's the place where God's people can come to the Lord in a fervent, availeth fashion. We can come before him in a humble fashion, desiring for God to bless us and to help us. Solomon, the ruler of Israel, the I don't know about you, dear friend, but I desire help from the Lord, not just once in a while, but I desire help day in and day out. And I thought about this these days of late when we began to focus upon the importance of prayer. Sometimes we pray the most sincere when everything seems to be falling apart, but we as brothers and sisters in Christ are to be fervent and faithful in our prayers and pray instant in season and out of season. For the same God that answers your prayers when you're low and you're down and out is the same God that answers your prayers when you're high.
Listen, do you pray more sincere when trouble's around? Do you get more serious with God when your heart is heavy? Do you get real with God when you have nowhere else to turn? Oh, dear friend, the intensity of that prayer should be the mindset in our heart each and every day of our lives. God wants to hear from us. You know, the sad part is that some just don't want to hear from God. But God wants to hear from us. Solomon cried out to the Lord because he had a desire to hear from. And I thought about so many of us in the day and time in which it is that we live. Sometimes we're powerless. Sometimes we feel useless. Sometimes we feel inadequate. I remember in the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter number 9, Jesus had ventured up onto the mountain. And he took with him his inner circle. He took with him Peter, James, and John. And that's the text of Scripture where you find the transfiguration experience. And I thought about that. Because you see, while Jesus was up on that mount, he was a man that had came in the midst of the disciples that was at the foot of that mountain with a son who had been inflicted with an evil spirit. And the Bible tells us that the 9 disciples that were there were unable to free this young man of the infirmity of which he was suffering. But when Jesus departed from that mountain, there in Mark chapter number 9, he came forth. And Jesus called this the dumb and the deaf. Well, you see, friends, this evilness had infiltrated the life of this young man, had robbed him of his spirit, it had robbed him of his emotion, it inflicted him in great and numerous ways. But the Lord came into the midst and he freed him of that plague. The Bible says that that spirit tore. Later, his disciples would come to him. And they would ask him. In Mark 9 and 28, his disciples asked him privately. He said, why could not we cast him out? Because you see, they had been ministering. They were faithful. They had done these type situations before. But this one was more intense. This one was more great. This one was more vile than anything they'd ever encountered. I believe, dear friends, that in the day and time of which it is that we live, we're facing more things that is more vile and more evil than we've ever encountered before. You know what Jesus told them? When he responded in verse 29 of Mark 9, he said, and he said it to them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. What Jesus was saying, you got to pray fervently. You got to be sincere. You got to be serious with God the Father.
to say no to the lust of the flesh. You got to be willing to be sold out, to be 100% willing to do what you think God would have you to do.
Got to be all in. All in.
You won't change your family. You won't change your life. You got to be all in.
Too many today are saying praise the Lord on Sunday and living like hell on Monday. Is God pleased with that? No.
How many today are willing to say, I pray day in and day out, and I read this word, and I strive to be what God would have me to be?
Few. And then we wonder why things are in the shape. Your friends, prayer changes things.
Prayer makes a difference. Prayer would make a difference in Solomon's kingdom. Prayer makes a difference in your kingdom. Solomon knew how God could change his world. I tell you, friends, how prayer can change our world.
Fervent, effectual prayer, a righteous man availeth much. People says, well, I pray. Praise God we pray. But do we pray with that humbling spirit? Do we pray with the intensity that really rings the bells? You know, in my lifetime, in your lifetime, we see more people more excited about a touchdown in a UT football game than five souls being saved at the local church. You can tell a parent saying, your child got saved. Oh, well. But then do a whole one in a golf cart and you'll never, or a golf course and you never again. What's going to make a difference?
What's going to make a difference?
Prayer. You see, things in this world, the things in my life and around me, in many cases, are just too big for me. I just can't do anything about it. But there's nothing too big for me.
There's nothing too big to the one that we pray to and we call out to. I believe, dear friends, and that's why the psalmist David said, who was Solomon's father, he tells us in Psalms 34, verses 3 and verse 4, he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears.
God did. Why? Because David got sincere with the Lord. Dear friends, when we get sincere with the Lord, things change. David uses a little word here in verse 3 of Psalms 34. He says, magnify. In the Greek, that word magnify means to make great. To make God great. To make him glorious. To make him who he deserves to be in our lives. That changes things. How is things going to be different in the world in which it is that we live if we don't pray? People say, well, things seem just to be falling apart all around us. What can I do? You can pray. If we did not pray, what shape do you think we would be? Listen,
may have laid down on God. We may have took a sabbatical. We may have just held things at bay. Listen, the old adversary, Satan, old Lucifer, he's running harder and more intensely today than he ever has. Because he knows his time is short. And the only way that you and I are going to combat the thing that's going on around us and about us is through prayer. Because the same God that blessed Solomon is the same God that desires to bless us. So if it was ever a day and time to get started, today's the day to pray. Not just to give a little, Lord, I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. No, I mean seriously pray. Seriously. Talk to the Lord as you would talk to me. Talk to the Lord as you would talk to your spouse. Talk to the Lord as you would your neighbor. Develop a dialogue. Dear friends, you can rest assured this will change everything. I've been out some days, been in the ministry, and be starting early in the morning. We run here, we run there. We're just doing all types of things in the way of religion. Toward the end of the day, as we would be traveling down, the Holy Spirit would speak down our heart and say, Brother Lynn, have you took time to pray? You've done a lot of church stuff, you've done a lot of religious stuff, but have you prayed? There have been many times I've just had to just to take a moment just to thank God and to talk to Him. Dear friends, let us take those special moments and let us talk to Him. Let us pray. I don't think there's a person that is within the confines of this sanctuary that don't have a desire to see things bad in their lives, in the lives that is around them, and in the land in which we live. Many of us have said, well, what can we do? We can pray. Let's pray. Dear Father, we're thankful that, Lord, that not only you love us, but that you have a kind ear to the cry of your children. And Father, let us fervently pray. Let us sincerely pray. Let us pray with intensity as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. For times are trying and times are hard and people are going to hell all around us and the lives are falling apart. Father, let us pray. Let us pray. Let us call out for you to make change, to rain upon us conviction, to stir our hearts, our minds, and our souls, to be obedient to your divine will, to lay our will to the side, and to pray not that my will, but that thy will be done. To desire change. Desire change. Change is not going to happen in Washington. It's not going to happen with NATO. It's going to happen through you, Lord. Bless us. Bless us as a body of believers. Put our house in order for your honor, your praise, and your glory. It is in Jesus' humble name, beautiful, glorious name it is that we pray. Amen. There's someone with us today that needs to come, whether it's for salvation, rededication, whatever the need may be. Friends, let's let not this opportunity pass them by. Dear friends, we can't stress how serious it is for us to pray. To understand the importance of prayer. And to know that there is a heavenly Father who desires to hear from us in a sincere, humbling way. Remember an old preacher friend, Kenneth Seaver. I'd run into him a lot. We ministered together.
I'd run into Kenneth every once in a while, and I'd say, Kenneth, how you doing? He said, well, Brother Lynn, I'm doing good. I'm doing right when I do.